South Africa.
Shout out to Carl Word.
It's the ever so cool Euphonic.
Yo, this is Will Clark.
What's up? This is your boy Shimza.
This is Caster from Crazy White Boy.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is James Deacon, and you're listening to After Hours with Kyle Wood.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on this show. It really is a great honor to chat to you, and I know when I speak to artists, they must always go, yeah, okay, cool. But I've been following your music for a while, and the whole world, your track with Roland Clark has been one that has stuck with me for quite some time. I really do love that record.
So I appreciate it.
So when the opportunity came along and Mike linked everything up, I was like, no way, you're kidding. Firstly, remaking an African classic, and two, it's you, you know, so yeah. Thank you.
The whole world, that's a good record, yeah. I was listening to it the other day. It's a nice one.
So before we get into everything, tell me a bit about how, and it's crazy to say this, but how has the last year been in New York?
You know, things have been like quite slow in terms of live shows. It's been kind of, you know, challenging, but I can say that, you know, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel right now, because a lot of the, you know, American population has been vaccinated. So they're slowly opening up, which is definitely positive, right? So it looks like there will be some return to normality in the next few months.
Yeah, hopefully. And even this side, there's talk. You know what I think? It's also a mental state for everybody to know that if there's like a vaccination passport before entering a club or a venue, the mindset is automatically at ease for everybody.
Yeah, at least there's some solution, right? But the last year, yeah, it was pretty slow, man. I mean, it's been a year since COVID, so it was pretty challenging in the beginning, you know, with no shows. I was lucky enough to readjust completely my model and my work.
Did it allow more creativity from your side to flow when it came to making music?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, prior to COVID, you know, I was touring a lot, gigging almost once or twice a week. I had just come back from a tour in Europe. I was performing in Portugal, Serbia, France, and Switzerland. And literally, I came back, I had my release party for my EP, and then that was the last show, and everybody was like, there's something called COVID, and I'm like, what is this?
A memory popped up here on Facebook the other day with a couple of friends of ours, and we had, there's a festival that happens here that's outdoors, and it's called It's Personal Picnic, and there was a huge group of us, and it was literally the Saturday before the Monday announcement came, so it was like our epic finale for a year as the Last Supper.
Well, you had an epic finale. You know, on my end, it was more like something gradual, because after my show, there was rumors of something coming to the U.S., and we were supposed to do the last show, The Last Supper, as you mentioned. And we were like, we don't want to do it, because, you know, we felt that it wasn't really right. It wasn't the right energy, nor the right mood. So we decided just to cancel the show. We thought we'd be back within a couple months. Yeah, turns out it took like I don't know, maybe 2 years, a year and a half for us to return to 100%. We'll see.
It's somewhat also been a bit of a cleanse for some people, you know, in terms of keeping what is close to them, keeping good people around them over the period of time, and also simplify certain aspects. As much loss as there has been, there's also been some focus and self-reflection, I guess, over that period.
No, absolutely, 100%. I mean, it's there's been some positive with this kind of, this downtime of this lockdown, you know, has given a lot of artists the capacity to create, to kind of explore areas that they generally wouldn't kind of get into. So yeah, it's only been positive. I mean, that in that regards.
Before we chat about Premier Gao, I want to ask you about Deep Roots Records. And, you know, I aim for these conversations not to be an audio book on what people can search on Google. But one thing that many people that listen don't know is that there's a big part behind a record label being sync and licensing. That seems to be a very big part for you, which is really amazing, because it's a very ethical way that labels can deal with artists, which is not always the case.
Yeah.
And with the names that you guys have dealt with in terms of sync deals and other sorts of licensing are ridiculous. So tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, basically, you know, One thing about, you know, our label is that we've always been focused on creating revenue for the artists and for the records. And from the early stage onwards, you know, we always felt that we needed to do something outside of just the Beatport purchases and the Spotify streams, just for it to be a more profitable business, right? And yeah, we had like one of our artists who was making more like trap music, very short snippets of samples, and he had a bunch of records, and he kept telling us all these, sending us all these, and we're like, we can't really release them, but we could see them in potentially a, you know, ad placement, movie placement, and it made sense. So we reached out to a few companies, and from there, you know, quite a few supervisors and agencies received it really well, and we went from one artist to 10 artists to the artists, and yeah, we're here now. So been a lot of masters, a lot of work. We have, like, you know, that's its own department within my company. So it took some time to develop, but at first, you know, we had to knock on many doors, and yeah, it paid off. I can say that.
A big part of that is, I think, I'm sure quite a few record labels could learn from instead of just denying a song just for not fitting in with a sound, there's another way that you could actually still work with an artist, for that matter.
Exactly, correct. That's the most important, right? So a lot of labels, you know, if it doesn't fit their, you know, sonic experience, they'll pass on the record, which is totally understandable, but there's so much more you can do with a track outside of releasing it, right? Nonetheless, what also gives us, you know, a reflection of, you know, our willingness to collaborate with every kind of artist, every kind of label, and even today, which is making me release Premier Gao, is the fact that, you know, we're willing to kind of gel with the industry and not stay focused on one specific style. So Deep Root, you know, we were able to expand to Deep Root Underground for more techno and melodic deep house, to Deep Root Tribe, which is more Afro house. And our subdivision is called Win Records, What You Need. And it's specifically for pop, hip hop, and whatnot.
Mm.
So we have four imprints, sub-imprints, sub-labels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing about us. You know, we like to work with everything.
Yeah.
Especially me, being a DJ and starting and playing in clubs many years ago when I was playing different kinds of music. You know, it's given me the capacity to appreciate every genre.
So speaking of Premier Gao, congratulations on the release and Spinning Deep. And let's just take a really, really quick moment on that live stream in New York and the setting that you did with that set, man. The Williamsburg Hotel, right?
You like the set?
It was fantastic. I had it on this morning and got my day started. It came out a couple of hours ago, so I got it just in time. So what a journey, and what a production. What an absolute production. Jeez, it was beautiful.
Thank you, thank you.
Beautifully, beautifully shot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have to thank my media team. They've done an amazing job, especially Oscar and Ainara. We've been very fond of finding ways to stay relevant and to be active, you know, despite live shows closing, right? So we actually launched a fund called United by Music. And we've been having live streams since pretty much, actually even prior to the pandemic, we've had live streams. So we've been, you know, at it with this live aspect for quite some time, because I've been a resident at Radio FG in Paris, and they're really big in live streaming, even prior to the pandemic. So yeah, it only made sense. And, you know, since for the past year, I would say we've probably done nearly 100 live streams or more.
Well, you can tell because it's been mastered. I mean, that it was premium compared to some of the live streams that people have done over this year. You know, there were a lot of makeshifts.
More to come.
So tell me a bit about the long-standing history of the original track, Premier Gao, and how it resonated with you.
I mean, you know, I grew up listening to the record. You know, everybody did. I'm pretty sure we all listened to it when we were kids. Yeah, you know, it's an amazing song. The original is one of my favorite tracks of all time. And yeah, the minute I was able to stumble across the right holders of the record and we connected in France, it was an exciting project. It took an entire year to get completed. I was able to receive the the samples and the stems, I think back in February of 2020. Yeah. Oh, no, 2019. We kind of forget what year it is.
Wait. yeah, exactly. When was the transition? Was there ever a transition? Yeah, it was, to me, it feels like it's still the same year.
Yeah, February 2020. That's when I got the stems.
And was it based on doing just a bootleg, or did you have in mind re-releasing
it? Oh, no. I knew I was going to release it because I was able to connect with the right holders at Radio FG. You know, he was a friend of mine. We worked on a previous record with a big African vocal from Amadou and Miriam. So he has like an entire catalog of African vocals and tracks. So yeah, he gave me the permission to rework this, and it took quite some effort. I did like 8 different versions, and Magic System approved the Afro House one, right? I did like a tech house, disco house, it didn't work, but the Afro House one, the Magic System band, they appreciated it.
And the only way we'd ever hear the other versions are possibly in live sets, right?
Probably not.
Not. Is it contractually sealed that this is the remake?
And no, that's it's not because it's contractually sealed. I just think, you know, this is the strongest one. This is the most polished full one. You know, the disco one, I came up with a draft. The tech house one, it was really good. It's pretty cool, but it was missing something. I had a melodic one, which was really great, like a melodic Afro House one with more pianos, more guitars, more dreamy. But they wanted something more for the club spinning specifically. So I had to strip down the melodies and give it more rhythm, which, you know, is cool, but we have remixes coming. So get ready for those. We actually have a big South African artist that's going to be remixing it, Black Motion.
Yes, I've had them on the show. I love the guys. They're amazing.
Yeah, they're remixing it together with Paso Doble and potentially Blondish.
Amazing. So, well, that is, geez, that's a remix pack, man.
Let's see. Paso and Black Motion are done. Let's see if Blondish is able to finish it. But she likes the record.
Over the past year, and even now, I was listening to an interview the other day with another artist, how they actually spoke about, do producers now look at making music differently? Because it was always release a track, make a track, tour, and repeat. Do you look at making music in a different sense now that when you release it, people actually have more time to take it in and listen to the music as opposed to just hear it on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, I was never like one of those producers, like you mentioned, make a track, release it. I always, whenever I make a record, you know, I really want it to be perfect. The turnaround from me to finish tracks is typically 6 months to a year. That should give you like an idea of how much.
I mean, listen, I've had answers of 3-4 hours before, so that immediately sets the tone of what the difference is when it comes to the process of making and putting music down, putting together.
Yeah, so I definitely make sure it's a real song and that it's, you know, a complete project and that it has a meaning, right? All my records, you know, they stem from, I think, quite thorough and thoughtful collaborations and compositions. Yeah, from the time I record the vocals, the idea that's put together within the record. So in essence, I can confirm that I've never been one of those producers that just release records to release records. So it's just a continuation of my work. You know, nothing has really changed. I would just say that these days, because of COVID, the world has slowed down a lot. So it's given me the capacity to collaborate with more other artists because they're more available.
With that said, I'm pretty sure over all the years that there must be a massive bank of music sitting on your computer.
I have about 40 records right now, probably 40-30 records. It's a lot, man. I don't know how I'm gonna finish them, but they're there. Everything is like concepts, you know? So we're gonna go one track at a time. But it's a very different, you know. I have like a few Afro House records set to come out. One is coming out on Swoon, which is a South African label by Ryan. You know Ryan Murgatroyd?
Ryan Murgatroyd. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. On Swoon.
Yeah. So I have a release coming up on Swoon and a release on Blondish's label, Abracadabra. Then after that, I'm doing a collaboration with Barbara Tucker. So I have a lot of music.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
Yeah. should be fun, man.
Dude, that sounds fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to, hopefully, I mean, you're working with Black Motion with Ryan as well. I'm hoping you can come this side sometime soon and we can actually see you in person.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that, you know. We'll be in touch with that. We're going to hit up all the big clubs, do something really cool in South Africa. That would be my pleasure.
When things reopen here, I can tell you people are going to hit it with a vengeance. Everybody's buzzing just to have a bit more of a nightlife at the moment, because it's afternoon life with a curfew. That's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, man.
Let's see, man. I'm totally, you know, game. South Africa, you know, I've only heard great things. So I really hope that when the world opens up, I'll be able to come through to visit.
But no, Francis, thank you so much for your time and spending some time with us. And thank you again for rescheduling. And I look forward to speaking to you and seeing you soon, man.
Absolutely. Stay in touch, bro. Send me a message on Instagram.